in Chicago this weekend. Saturday, it's the minor leagues, and Sunday, it's the major leagues of motorsport. We've got NASCAR in town. I don't know if you've heard. And the more I think about it, the more I realize I don't know who to root for. I don't think I know the point system. I was wondering out loud the other day, if don't they reward so many points for laps and stuff like that? And so we asked Dane Neal to join us and kind of do a NASCAR for dummies. Dane, can you help me out?
Yeah, you bet, John. Yeah, that's it. Everybody should just leave their cares behind and just relax and bathe themselves in the toxic fumes of motorsports.
How do you know so much about this? Has this been a lifelong interest of yours?
Well, for sure. So I've been covering it and doing, you know, radio, motorsports radio for 20 years. And certainly, you know, all of the stuff on WGN, really, most of the motorsports stuff, been covering that. So all the different series and the drivers, whether it's Indy 500, obviously we've talked about that, brought that back, NASCAR for yep. many, many years, you know, the drag racing and all that. So excited to be able to share that with the listeners. And it feels like, John, we're getting some traction, no pun intended. And now, right, it's all around us this weekend.
Talk to me about Saturday, then I'll ask you about Sunday. What happens Saturday?
Well, Saturday is the Xfinity Series. So that's the it's the 120. I think it's the Loop 120 or the Grant Park 120. They switch it off. One is the 200 and one is the 120. And it's so it is the, I don't want to say the lesser series, because typically there'd be a lot of those same Cup drivers. So Cup is the elite series, and that's going to be the Sunday race. And a lot of times they'll interchange and race on both sides, but they're keeping it so close to the vest. They don't want anyone to get a leg up on experience or recon or any of that, because not only has nobody driven on this course at all in Chicago, it's never been driven on, but the NASCAR has never done a street course race at the Cup level ever in the history, in the 75-year history. So on Saturday, they're going to, and here's how close it is. So they're going to get 90 minutes of practice. Then they're going to go ahead and they're going to get an opportunity to qualify. And then just a little bit later in that day, they're going to run that race. So there are people that are here that are bringing their trailers and their trucks and everything with all that stuff on the line and all those sponsors that may not make the race.
You mean if they don't qualify, there's some cars that will come but not qualify?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's only so many spots in
how many
in
cars
the race.
Will race? How many cars will race on Sunday?
Typically on Sunday it's 40 cars. So typically it's between like 36, 39, 40, depending on it. It's going to be full. And there are people that are trying to get into this race that do not necessarily have a spot, whether it's in the standings or the qualifier, and they're trying to get in. One case in point is coming up on Saturday, and it's the University of Chicago car. So Andre Castro, who is a graduate of the University of Chicago, and not oftentimes, although some people would argue, NASCAR isn't always associated with elite institutions of higher learning, right? Or, and he's a Colombian national driver, so he's going to be in there, and they need to qualify to get into that race, so there's a lot riding on that.
I know Michael Jordan has a car, but why does the University of Chicago and the whole NASCAR series, is there always a UFC car zooming around?
Absolutely not, and that's kind of one of the cool thing. So you're always going to see when you're there, there'll always be a Busch Light car or a Mobil car or a McDonald's car. You're always going to see that. Those are national sponsors that are on television and on track on a regular basis. But when they go to different markets, you know, there's an opportunity for, you know, local places to get involved and have a presence. I'm excited to see it, because as foreign as some of this is going to feel for people, you know, we're a Cubs and a Bears and a Bulls and a Blackhawk town. To have, you know, some of those great local institutions and entities represented is going to be very cool.
How expensive are these teams and these cars?
Well, it's you know, it's hard to say. They keep some of those costs close to the vest, but it's millions of dollars to be a part of on the sponsor side, to be a part of a race team. You know, the cars themselves, it's probably hundreds of thousands of dollars for the cars and the engines and all the R&D that go with that. It's a spec series. So even though, you know, Ford and Toyota and Chevrolet will be represented, you know, on the inside, you know, a lot of the things have to maintain, you know, a lot of the specifications so that it's as equal as possible. But you know, these aren't things that are just available, you know, on the shelf somewhere, on a lot somewhere. So these are specialized, very technical. It isn't like it used to be, you know, stock cars where that same car that you would see on Sunday is the same one basically in your driveway, except without Richard Petty behind the wheel. So these are kind of specialized machines.
what happens Saturday doesn't have anything to do with what happens Sunday, right? It's not like you've got to win Saturday to race on Sunday, correct?
That's a great question. You know, because in some series, whether it's like the super late models or the dirt track, you have these kind of qualifying races to get into the what they call the feature race. And that, but that's not the case here. A lot of times, as I mentioned, you'd have drivers kind of going back and forth and racing both for this. No, they're two totally separate races, totally separate rosters of drivers. And a lot of the guys are doing simulators in order to kind of, you know, figure out and learn that course. And so there really isn't anybody, I don't want to say that's not a favorite, because you have teams that are just have maybe drivers are generally more talented or have more experience on road course. They just have better equipment, but it is kind of going to be up in the air.
Comment on this. Speaking of the simulators, this is in the New York Times today. 2 years ago, as new COVID variants kept American downtowns empty, NASCAR tried something novel, a simulated, televised race through a digitized Chicago without needing to leave home. The sport's top drivers sped virtual cars down a course nearly identical to the one that they will race this weekend. I vaguely remember that, although I didn't see it. I wonder if that will be beneficial to these drivers.
Well, not only was it beneficial in general, of course, this was a couple of years ago, but what it did, you always have that saying, like, if you could see it, you can be it. And to imagine the cars on a simulated track, what it would look like, how it would work, where it would be, was that conversation starter, honestly, John, that got the whole ball rolling in this. I talked with Fox lead reporter Bob Pockris about it right afterwards, and it was the thing that kind of showed, you know, you look at like a sizzle reel or a PowerPoint presentation as far as sort of a pitch deck for this, and that was it from NASCAR to the city. It's like, hey, just imagine what this could be. And here's what's different about the simulator side of things. And we joke that, you know, moms are telling kids, hey, get off the games or stop playing the games. When it comes to racing, unlike, let's say, football, you could be great at Madden football. It's not going to make you Tom Brady. The basketball, you could be great at it, and it looks so realistic. The tech side is not going to make you 6'10". On the racing side, they have got it down where it is so close on the setups, the visuals, the tracks, every bit of it, that you will have people that are, we have had people that have done nothing but simulators and gotten into a race car and been competitive. In fact, so William Byron, who is right at the top of the standings for the NASCAR Cup Series, he'll be out there on Sunday. His background was mostly simulator, and then he got in, and he's one of the best drivers in NASCAR today.
Is there a point system, or is it just winner take all at the checkered flag?
There's a totally complex point system that's hard to follow and difficult to understand for new viewers and listeners. So at the end of the race, you know, there's 40 cars, let's say. So the winner of the race gets 40 points, and it graduates down 39, 38, second, third, fourth, so every race happens like that. And then they do have a playoff system. In the past, it used to be where you just added up all the points and then whoever was ahead. And at some point during the season, it was kind of anticlimactic because you get to a point where, you know, you could see that Richard Petty was like 300 points ahead of everybody and that there's just no way, even if he didn't race the last few races, that it would change the outcome. So they created the playoff system, which is good. So then at the end of basically the summer, it's going to start in September, they'll have 16 slots for the playoffs, and then they go to 12, and they go to, you know, 8, and then the championship 4. And so it graduates down like that. The other thing that they do, which is going to be a little different for us this weekend than a lot of the races that they do, is the stage racing. So they decided, they thought it would be cool to, within the race, instead of just a big 3-hour, you know, with pit stops, is they would break it up and have stages. So there's little mini races within the race. So there's two stages, and then, of course, the finals in the race. And so they give points for that as well, some extra bonus points that go towards the playoffs. And so it all goes down to that top four, this top four on the point side, and those get to be in that final race in Phoenix for the championship in November. And so it's four. So and get this, John. So it isn't like, you know, the NFL playoffs where, you know, if you lose in the playoffs, you go and sit home. Everybody continues to race the entire time, but the stakes for fewer and fewer drivers are there as they go through the season. And then that final race for the championship four is, it's kind of winner take all in that race where it's those four drivers, whoever finishes the best out of those four is crowned the NASCAR Cup Series champion.
Talk about the stages again for just a second. We're talking to Dane Neal. You hear him all the time on WGN Radio. He obviously knows his motorsports, and obviously I don't. So the stages? So, like, do they break the race on Sunday up into segments? Do they stop and start? What do you mean stages?
Yep. So for a lot of the normal races on the ovals, they will stop the race. So it's like a mini race within the race. So let's say it's 30 laps in or 50 laps in, and it's broken up into three separate kind of mini races. And then they'll start it all again, the second stage, and then that third and final stage. What they decided this year, NASCAR decided for the road courses, so we won't see that on track here this weekend for us, is they're not doing the stages. So, I mean, they're not doing the stops for the stages. So there will be a lap point that will happen where who's ever winning at that lap point right. will get those extra stage points. But they won't have anybody come in and pit and then start over again. And sometimes because of the road courses and the way that the turns go, it causes a lot of accidents. And plus, that's part of the strategy of motorsports. It isn't just who can drive the fastest. It's timing your fuel mileage and the pit stops and all that. And there's a lot of strategy that goes into it. And they felt, especially on the road courses, you know, by stopping and starting, it kind of took that out of play.
Dane Neal's doing what I'm calling NASCAR for Dummies in the role of the dummy, me. What's it going to be like? They're going to do 40 to 140 miles an hour, but a dozen 90-degree turns. What's the racing going to look like, Dane?
Oh, it's going to be, well, I've had conflicting reports and no one really knows. I think it's going to be really, really cool. Number one, just to see, there's a lot on the line. People are going to be doing everything they can, but to see these cars, it's big, it's bold, it's bright, it's loud right there on Chicago and have those views, I think is going to be awesome. It's going to be loud. You know, I heard that they had said, NASCAR said that they had put some mufflers on there. But I've also heard mufflers. What mufflers? So it's going to be loud. There are so many people, John, typically that, you know, would maybe go to an event in order to participate. There's going to be people who have no intention of being a part of the NASCAR weekend that are going to be or find themselves in the middle of it. It's going to be great. Here's the thing that you have to kind of do. They've got it as a lot of the general admission tickets. So it's a festival and you've got Grand Park. And there's a lot of sort of areas to view. So I would look at it sort of for some of those people, kind of like golf, right, where you go to a point, then you can kind of wander to a different point, and you can wander and you can see. So it isn't static because there is, you know, it's 2.2 miles, it's 12 turns. You know, you can't see the whole track from any one place. But it's gonna be a great experience. I just hope that there isn't more people that are crabby about, you know, the traffic or the lane closures or maybe that it's super loud and setting off, you know, fire alarms or knocking over just because of the vibrations, priceless vases at the museums. I hope that the negative doesn't outweigh all the positive that this weekend's going to bring.
Well, you just introduced a consideration. I hadn't thought about it. The vibrations are going to knock down priceless works of art at the museums nearby. Dang, don't even go there for crying out loud.
Oh, then I'll follow that with John with maybe not.
Yeah, but maybe that won't happen. Well, listen, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes I'm crabby about it. Sometimes I'm enthusiastic about it. Here's the deal. For the next 3 years, well, 2 years after this weekend, it's going to be here. So I guess let's make, as I think all of us have said, regardless of which side of this line we're on, better that it is successful than it is not. If we're going to give them the park for a month and a half, let's hope that it's, and I don't even know what successful means, that it brings a lot of people into Chicago, that Chicago is showcased positively. That's our takeaway, right?
Yeah. Well, for, you know, we kind of get lost in because we're in this bubble and we're right here and what it means. And geez, I can't turn, you know, left into the place I normally would. But around the country, the vibe in general, there is just so much excitement for this, for Chicago, for what it means for the sport, and just excitement for the opportunity to have this happen instead of a track, you know, a far off track, an hour away. You can go to a great restaurant. You can walk right to the track, and then they've got all that festival, the music, the bands. You've got the Chainsmokers, the Black Crows, Miranda Lambert, Charlie Crockett. So they have gone overboard to create more than just the typical racing that people would expect to create sort of that whole festival vibe and environment. And I know for, you know, El Bandito Yankee, which is our hometown tequila, the official tequila of race day, we were down at at Bub City when we did the race special last night. And then they'll be out. The car will be out at Fat Rosie's in Naperville, and then all weekend long at Aurelio's, which is right on Michigan Avenue too. Opportunities to get there. There's going to be driver appearances. Chris Chelios is going to be there as well. So there's a lot of integration.
Yeah, that's great. They should do that. You almost get the feeling that NASCAR needs this as much as we need NASCAR and the television coverage. That is, NASCAR is getting a more diverse audience, maybe a slightly smaller audience these days, and they might as well tap into the third largest city in the country like Chicago and see if there aren't fertile grounds here.
And John, you hit on it, because that has been one of the things. You look at this as a sport that started out as, you know, Southeast Regional, and let's all agree has had some challenges on the marketing and public relations side, trying to be more things to more people. This is a sports town. It has a great racing history. You know, in the past, they used to race cars at Soldier Field and Santa Fe Speedway. But for the most part, there's a big portion of Chicago that is unaware of what motorsports can be. So it's a great debut and an outreach, right, to maybe that next generation of fans. A lot of the drivers that I've talked to over the couple months have spent time, you know, in schools with the kids, you know, trying to do that whole see it, you can be it. And then also on the STEM side, because racing is, you know, unlike a lot of sports, it's science. You know, it is all, it's physics, right? You know, and so there's that touch point too that they're working on. This is big. You know, and you hit on it too. As kind of cool and interesting as this is for Chicago, if this race wasn't here, we'd be just fine. For NASCAR, they've got a lot riding on it. It's a big deal.
Just a couple more questions. Give me some names then of the drivers that I would recognize that are going to be here this week, that are here now probably.
Well, I mean, all of them. I mean, you know, almost except
for No, give me the names.
No. Oh, so some of the ones to look out for, I think, on the William Byron. So here's, and William Byron is, he drives the 24 car for Hendricks. He is that guy that has had so much success. And he was one of the ones that I had interviewed that was a big part of that original couple year ago iRacing expedition. So he's going to be great. Martin Truex Jr. is a guy that's done very well on road courses. He won some of these kind of strange races. You know, the Clash at the Coliseum they did out in Los Angeles. He did very well at Sonoma. Joey Logano is one of those guys, you know, defending NASCAR champion, and a guy who is really good at sort of improvising on the fly. And so when situations happen like that, then you've got Kyle Larson is one of those great drivers too. There is so much talent here, but I am looking for, John, like sort of a dark horse. You know, AJ Allmendinger is a great driver as well, because here's the thing is, with all of the experience resources that a lot of these great teams have, none of them have any experience. They're all starting from square one this weekend.
Will they crash?
Undoubtedly. So it isn't even like a hockey fight, right? That used to happen all the time. You could count on that. But you never know if that's going to happen. In this race, 100%. I will predict. I don't know if the over-under on crashes, but I'm sure Vegas is doing that. But there'll be plenty of them, and I'm not sure that that's necessarily – it won't be like it is at a Talladega or a Daytona where they're going around and everyone's just waiting and one crash wrecks 14 cars. You won't see that because it's going to be more strategic. But there's some of these turns are very tight, and people are going to try to fit into spaces. Like we mentioned, it's going to be super competitive.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. There'll be crashes.
773 asked, is Ricky Bobby going to be there this weekend?
I wish Will Ferrell would get out there. You know, there's a little bit. We had some of that on in our opens, and I think anyone who loves funny things, right, and also has an awareness for racing loves Talladega Nights. But, you know, some of the racing community, they see that as more of a parody and less of an actual and realistic depiction of the racing community. So I don't know. I'm sure we'll see some people dressed up in Wonder Bread fire suits. That's for sure.
If you ain't first, you're last. You know, I'm talking about that phrase, trademark, not to use the outside position, Ricky Bobby Inc.
All right, listen. Shake and bake, baby. All right. Don't make me do the prayer at dinner there. Let's pause now.
John, what is your favorite baby Jesus? Is it the little small 8-pound baby Jesus? Is that your favorite one? You mean whichever one you prefer?
That movie is so funny. I love that movie. That's my favorite Will Ferrell film for sure. How about maybe you check in with us Monday and kind of give us a postscript on this?
I'd love to. And hopefully it won't be, hey, it rained all weekend and we're still waiting. Hopefully we won't be postscripting that.
Nice to talk to you, Dane. Thanks for your help today.
Thanks, John.